So I'm just going to pray before we start. I've probably, I think a lot about different teaching series that we've pulled together, and in particular things that captured my heart. And this one, above probably anything that we've done, is something that has really impacted my life, and I feel really passionate and quite, strong about this particular teaching series. So I just want, I just really want God to just own this, and for it not to be something that is just because it's a good thing to do. This is a really God thing to do at this moment in time, and I just really want the Holy Spirit to own it. So, Lord, I thank you for this new year, Lord. I thank you for helping me to pull together this teaching series, this Practicing the Way teaching series. Lord, you know how I feel about this stuff. And Lord, I pray that as we introduce this today, Lord, that you will own these words, Lord, that they will not be my words, but they'll be what you want people to hear at this moment in time. So, Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do over these coming months through this teaching. And Lord, I pray for each and everyone, that everyone will be impacted in some way or other. Amen. So, yeah, as I was saying, this teaching series is really interesting. And I think Dave and I have really been kind of, I swear, into the kind of John Mark Comer approach to discipleship, or as he calls it in his book, Apprenticeship to Jesus, since probably about 2019. I was trying to remember when he spoke at New Wine, which, Nikki, you'll remember because you got a selfie with him, didn't you? You and Alison stalked him after the meeting. Was it 2018? 17. Goodness me. Got that long ago. So back in 2017, John Mark Comer came to New Wine and spoke. And interestingly, we were conflicted at that time because Simon Ponsonby was also doing morning Bible teaching. And kind of most of us kind of went with the flow and went and listened to Simon because that's what we kind of liked. But Alison and Nikki went and heard John Mark speak. And I think since then, actually, it's been really interesting. And again, Dave and I, particularly from 2019 onwards, we're looking about creating more space and margin in our lives to be able to see God move, to enable us to rest. And John Mark wrote that book, Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, which again really, really impacted us. And then COVID hit, and we were forced into some of the spiritual practices without even kind of needing to kind of do anything. There was a lot of solitude, there was a lot of silence. There was quite a lot of rest, actually, during the COVID times for us. So actually, COVID has been really helpful to us on this journey. And actually, the other reason why I was thinking about this, COVID has been helpful to us, is that it changed the way we work. So Dave and I work from home pretty much full time now. And I can't imagine what my life would be like if I needed to go into the office every single day and travel every day and do all of the things, because we're able to do the things now because of our change of working patterns, and we're really grateful for that. So in terms of where we're at as a church, you may remember, I can't remember, was it back in October, Tim Dobson came and did a talk on spiritual practices, so that really got our attention. Other churches are doing this. I know, Rich, you said that somebody you've been speaking to are doing this. I think St. Michael's, I think Nathan mentioned this to us, that have been doing bits and pieces of this. We were with Andrew and Becky Maskell yesterday, and they've just done this as a church. And actually, some of it, we're probably doing some of it in terms of the practices by doing things like Lectio. A lot of people do Lectio. So when you think about maybe a prayer practice, Lectio is something that will be reflected in this. So it's sort of a thing at the moment. And I think the reason is, Rod helpfully sent me a link to a YouTube clip. Well, it wasn't a clip, it was a talk, a Spring Harvest talk, where somebody from Spring Harvest was having this conversation with John Mark Comer about why this is important right now. And he talks in kind of language like, oh, we're in this sort of post-Christendom world. And what we do now, or what we've done previously, is not good enough for now and the world in which we are operating in, particularly with digital stuff and all of the rest of it. So the things we might have done in our walks with God previously, they just don't cut it right now. And there's somebody climbing up a ladder out there. I won't be distracted by that. And again, and this is particularly true, I think, in the American Evangelical Church. So again, some of his writing comes from that sense of actually being counterformed and pushing against what's happening in the American church. And you'll sort of feel that, and you might not think, oh, hang on, how does that translate into the church in the UK? But again, worth a listen to that talk, because he goes into why this is important right now. And then I was really struck with what Pauline shared about us being products of the environments that we are operated in, again, through our Christian walks, the way that church has formed us, the way that particular types of leadership may have formed us, ways of thinking, theology, have impacted us. And we do things because of those, and not because necessarily Jesus is asking us to do those. So here we go. So in John Mark Comer's view, he says, the modern church is facing a crisis of discipleship. 2,000 years ago, Jesus said to his disciples, and you can read this in Mark 1 and verse 17, come follow me. But what does that really mean for us today? And he says this in his book. It says, contrary to what many assume, Jesus did not invite people to convert to Christianity. He didn't even call people to become Christians. He invited people to apprentice under him. We tend to use the word disciple. And again, I think we've probably misused that word. We changed it into a verb. And actually, disciple is a thing. It's a noun. So he uses the word apprentice. So you can interchange those. So he invites people to apprentice under him into a whole new way of living, to be transformed. He says, my thesis is simple. Transformation is possible if we are willing to arrange our lives around the practices, rhythms, and truths that Jesus himself did, which will open our lives to God's power to change. Said another way, we can be transformed if we are willing to apprentice ourselves to Jesus. And he says, it's not that people don't want to become like Jesus, or they're not trying to become like Jesus. We don't know how to do it, because of the world we operate in, a world that is distracted, fragmented, and hurried. Many of us, we were in this situation, quite simply, were too busy and exhausted to have a meaningful life with God, underpinned by a commitment to outwork and embed practices into our journey. We just haven't got the time to do it. And Rich Velodas, who is another kind of author in this tradition, he wrote a book called The Deeply Formed Life, which again I recommend if you're kind of wanting to go a bit deeper. He says, our world continues faster and busier, and we are reminded that our souls were not created for the kind of speed for which we have grown accustomed. Thus, we are a people who are out of rhythm, a people with too much to do and not enough time to do it. And then John Mark says, he said, what we need is what Dallas Willard, who, again, I'll come on to a bit of Dallas Willard in a moment, calls a curriculum for Christlikeness. That is a clear path to be formed by Jesus that is relevant for today, rather than being formed by the culture around us. And that's what this practicing the way is all about. It's really recognizing and embracing that Jesus is what he says he is when he says he is the way, the truth, and the life. And we see that in scripture. It's often referred to the way, and that's what this is all about. So in the book, he talks a lot about spiritual formation, and you might be thinking, what even is that spiritual formation? So this is what we're talking about. Again, John Mark says, spiritual formation in the North American church is often truncated to this three-part formula: go to church, read your Bible, and pray, and give. I'm all for these three practices. All of them are in his rule of life. We're not going to talk about rule of life today. But in my experience, many Christians get 30 years down the road with this as a template for their discipleship, and they don't feel at all different. They just feel older. Anyone feel a bit like that? Just feel older. because we're just doing these things. We're not truly being transformed into the way of Jesus. So I mentioned Dallas Willard. He's a philosopher, and arguably I think he is the kind of leading exponent on thinking on spiritual formation in this kind of in the modern evangelical tradition, and he has had quite an influence on John Mark's work, defines it as follows. Spiritual formation in the tradition of Jesus Christ is the process of transformation of the inmost dimension of the human being, the heart, which is the same as the spirit or will. It is being formed, really transformed, in such a way that its natural expression comes to the deeds of Christ done in the power of Christ. The progression of spiritual formation is outlined in various passages in the New Testament, but is most fully spelled out in 2 Peter 1. And it says, "Now since you have become partakers of the divine nature," the writer says, "applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love." That's verses 4-7. When we talk about spiritual formation, we're talking about framing a progression of life in which people come to actually do all the things that Jesus taught and become people of love. And the word for love in that particular scripture is the love that is agape love. So all of these things are about becoming people of love. And here's the thing. We don't just become Christ-like by accident. It only happens when we intentionally commit ourselves to the ways of Jesus. Willard emphasises the importance of intentionality, and that is choosing in your daily life to believe Jesus and to believe in his ways, and to believe that what he would do if he was here now, he would do through you. He considered spiritual exercises like prayer, service, study, worship, solitude, and fasting as an important means of that intentional decision to grow in Christ-likeness through God's grace. And it says in Luke 6 and verse 40, "The apprentice is not above the rabbi, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their rabbi." So that is saying to us, you know, Jesus, our rabbi, we will be, you know, if we undergo the training and do the stuff and put in the graft, we will be like him. So remember that. And John Mark's own actually rather simple definition, although he expands it in the book, says spiritual formation is the process of being formed into people of love in Christ. It's as straightforward as that. And I think for us, and again, I have to be really careful when I do this, it's not that we're just going, oh, I'm going to get into the spiritual formation thing as a kind of new activity, a bit like developing, I don't know, or taking part in some new self-help method or yoga practice or whatever it might be that we think is going to enhance our life. Spiritual formation isn't a Christian thing or even a religious thing. It's a human thing. We are being formed all of the time, whether we like it or not. It's the process by which we mature and adapt and change over time. And over our life, we are spiritually formed by a complex number of things. It might be genetics, it could be family patterns, it could be things that have happened to you in your past, your education, habits, decisions you make, relationships, environments. This church will have formed you spiritually in some way by the way we do church, the way NLC is, will have an influence on you. And this is the thing, isn't it? Is the problem is we don't even really recognise some of this stuff is happening. It's sort of unintentional. It's in the background. And then often we find ourselves that we are conformed to the pattern of this world rather than being transformed by the renewing of our mind, as it says in Romans 12 and verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. John Mark says in the book, it says, if we're not being intentionally formed by Jesus himself, then it is highly likely we are being unintentionally formed by someone or something else. I was like thinking about that, and I was thinking about Instagram and influencers and content creators. You can earn a lot of money being a content creator and an influencer. It is so subtle. Actually, it's probably not even, some of it's not even that subtle. And I have to be really careful because I like a bit of stuff. I like the latest new thing. And yeah, there was one particular person I was following over the Christmas period. Shouldn't have done it. It was a ridiculous waste of time and effort actually come down to it. But this girl, she's 23 years old, this lady, she was doing this luxury advent calendar, right, and her fella had gone out and put all of these bags under the Christmas tree, and then each day she would come and she would open one of these amazing bags. I mean, and we're talking high-end, so it's Chanel and all of this kind of stuff. There were some other bits in there. And then one particular day, she pulled out this kind of skincare stuff. And I thought, oh, like a bit of skincare, need to change my skincare. What did I do? I went out and then got the thing that actually wasn't Chanel or whatever. I went and got it. It is so easy to do. And then actually the kids said to me, they said, well, Mum, it's not real. He didn't really buy her that stuff. They get gifted this stuff and it's actually all a load of fake. And actually the most fake thing was on the Christmas Day one where she had this key to this Porsche. And I was going, oh, she got a Porsche on Christmas Day. And they're going, God, you're just daft. That is how subtle this stuff is. So I think some important questions to reflect on are, who are you really following? Well, I've deleted her now. I don't need to follow that girl anymore because it's just nonsense. Who am I becoming? Am I becoming more like a person I follow on Instagram? Or even closer to home, somebody like you might admire, or a friend. We find that sometimes we want to kind of model ourselves in the image of individuals. Or am I becoming more like Jesus? Am I being intentional about who am I becoming? And there's a number of things that he suggests in the book. And again, you may or may not want to do some of them. You might want to do all of it, you know. But you might want to undertake what he calls the formation audit to see how you're doing against these things. I think it asks questions like, yeah, what are your habits? What informs your decision-making kind of on a daily basis? It's internal work, which is pretty uncomfortable, I think, but it's there. And in the way of Jesus, we will be formed by the practices, and we're going to spend the next 5 months looking at those. It's a slow journey, deliberately. Again, we'll be formed by community. So if we're all on this journey together, I would hope that we will end up in some of the same places. We'll be formed by the teaching, which, you know, everybody has got their preaching slots now, which is exciting. But also the Holy Spirit has a role to play in this stuff. It will be the Holy Spirit that will work within you to help you. And it happens over time. It happens through good and bad and everything in between. And actually, he spends quite a bit of time in the book, doesn't he, talking about sin and also shame and past hurts and all sorts of things and the impact on those things on our formation. So it is a slow journey and it's a forever journey. It's not a one box and we've done it. It's a forever thing. So what can you do to get started on this journey? So it is my conviction that you must do something. And your choice of something may well be nothing. But it's my prayer that it isn't. Because if you don't do anything, then the next 5 months might be just a bit tricky, really. Because you won't necessarily understand what's going on or recognise what's being taught from the front. You need to do something. The something might just be to listen to the Rod's YouTube thing from Spring Harvest. That's something to help you on the way. But it is my prayer that everybody is able to engage. And as I've said to you before, you're not going to get all the answers from me standing here or from Rod or from Rich or Dave or Rich or whoever else is doing. Sue's going to do one as well. You're not going to get all the answers from us. You'll get a slice of it, and I hope that it will inspire you and hope some of these words will land where they need to land, but you're not going to get it all. Information alone is not going to produce the transformation in you. And we're all going to be at different points of the journey. As I said, Dave and I are kind of on the journey because we started it a long time ago, but it's like we're nowhere near an end point, but we're in a different place. So, for example, around, say, something like Sabbath, we're in a different place than that because we've been practicing that in our way for a while. I've done quite a bit of solitude and silence, which has really helped me as somebody that is intrinsically in front of people talking a lot. So I've really embraced that. But we haven't got them all sorted. But it's important to recognise that there's no right answers. There's going to be no prizes for who's read the most stuff, looked at the most things, and all of the rest of it. But it's really important to do something. And I'm saying to Rich Penske at the beginning of the meeting, we don't want to do this journey in isolation. We need to do it together. These things work in community. And we do all need to be in it together. So, as I said, the resources in this area are vast. I'd hope some of you have got the book. There's a course guide, if you're really into that. You can get these things on Amazon, or you can log on to the website. There's individual books on the practices. These are really nice. They're really nice little books, actually. So you can get into that if that's your thing. You can do the audits. You can listen to his podcasts. What else can you do? You can read other material. I've got a whole raft of stuff on spiritual formation. Again, if you want some recommendations. But again, I think it's really important to do something, and also important to be honest about where you are in terms of your habits and the things that shape your lives and your walk with Jesus, and where are we being influenced, and we might not even know it. Rich Velodas, who I quoted, who wrote The Deeply Formed Life, he said this on Twitter the other week, and I thought this was quite a helpful and simple way of undertaking a spiritual health check. I think the one in The Practice in the Way is quite in depth. But again, use these things and adapt them as you need them. He says, 5 questions that help me gauge my spiritual health. And you might want to, focus your attention around these. Am I giving myself to intentional times of prayer? Am I committed to interior examination? Am I moving towards the poor and the marginalised? Am I connected to others in a way that fosters vulnerability? And am I growing in love? So all of those questions, you should be able to match back to something within the spiritual disciplines and practices. So things like prayer, the interior examination side of things, poor and marginalised, so he's talking about service, community, being vulnerable, again, in community, in relationship with one another, and are you growing in love? Really helpful. One of the things I've done, and done it for the last couple of years, is I use the work of Glenn and Holly Packiam. They wrote a book called The Intentional Year, which again is framed around spiritual practices and disciplines to focus my year ahead. And again, it starts off by doing that traditional thing where, oh, what's your word for the year? Or reflecting on the previous year, and then doing the what's the word for the year, and all of that kind of things. But what he does is he says, right, how am I going to structure my 2025 around these areas? So what does prayer look like for me in 2025? What does rest look like? What does renewal look like? And when he's talking about renewal there, he's talking about things like self-care, creative things, reading, cooking, making stuff. That's renewal type activities. Relationships. So where are you going to invest relationally in this year? So who are your 3? Who are your 12? Who's your wider circle? What relationships do you want to put down in this season, pick up? Where's God calling you to invest in new relationships? And then there's some stuff around work and framing work. So I find that quite a helpful way to look at the areas of my life and go, right, so prayer for me looks like this. It looks like lectio, or it looks like, doing the examine, or whatever it might be. But again, it's good to actually sort of do these things. And again, what we need to understand is that all of the formation activities in the way of Jesus, they are countercultural. They are not like this world, the stuff of this world. And as I said, this world being hurried, chaotic, and always looking to the more and the shiny new thing. That's not necessarily the way of Jesus. As apprentices of Jesus, our goal should be intentionally to slow our lives down to find joy in walking with him. with the rhythms and practices and the habits that point us towards him. The Japanese theologian Kazuki Koyama said that Jesus says of Jesus that he was and is the 3 mile an hour God. God moves slowly, and so does Jesus. The average speed a human walks is 3 miles an hour, and so Jesus, being fully human, would have walked at 3 miles an hour as well. Koyama says that God walks slowly in Jesus because God is love, and love takes time, and love moves slowly. Again, just a little interesting snippet of church geekness off of the back of that is, you know Pete Gregg, who does the 24/7 prayer? He lives on a narrow boat for most of his time. And the reason they moved onto that narrow boat was to slow down. The pace of life living on a narrow boat is just slow and just creates that more sense of time and space. Time is a gift that God has given us. And the purpose of time is to love God and love one another more fully. The journey of being Christ-like and becoming Christ-like is slow and needs space. In that YouTube thing I mentioned, John Mark Comer talks about his morning prayer practice. And again, he's pretty hardcore when it comes to phones and digital things, and we're nowhere near that, what he is. So he, at something like 8:30 at night, they lock their phones away, right? They have a place where they go and they lock their phones, and they do not touch those phones until he's had his 1 hour of quiet time in the morning before the Lord. And what he has an hour timer so that he's not forced to think, oh, I need to see what the time is on my phone. And obviously he said, well, obviously if you're doing the lectio and you're using your phone, that's different. But for him, that's really important that he recognises that if that phone is there, it will distract him, and he doesn't want it to be the first thing that he picks up on in the morning. He wants the first thing to be his time with the Lord in prayer. So what are you going to do as a counter response to the world around you in 2025? Have a think about the areas of the habits that actually you might want to flip on their head and do something completely different. So let's think about the practices and why the practices are important. As I said, this is going to be the focus of our teaching until the end of May, and they are essential to spiritual formation. These are the things that we do where we can then make space for God to transform us into the kind of people that he wants us to be, the things we can't currently do. They will help us to slow down our busy lives and pace that we're operating at to the pace and presence of the God of peace. Think about scaffolding for a moment. It provides structure, support, and safety while the work of transformation is being undertaken. And I read this the other morning in a new devotional that I'm using, which I think is a really beautiful picture about what the practices can be to us as we're journeying to become more like Jesus. It's Shauna Nyquist is the author. It's a cool grey morning in New York, and as I write at my beloved child-sized desk/nightstand, I'm looking out the window at scaffolding. New York City is obsessed with scaffolding. Put simply, scaffolding is the structure put up around a building that, for whatever reason, needs support. Maybe it's old and needs to be repaired. Or maybe it's mid-renovation. Or maybe it's a new construction and the scaffolding is less for the building and more for the safety of the people walking by so nothing falls on them mid-construction. As I said, scaffolding provides safety and support while a building is being transformed in some way. Here's something I've learned the hard way. What we do every day matters far more than what we do once in a while. So these practices are no good as just once in a while activity. You have to build them into your life and build them into your daily rhythms. The daily routines and rhythms that we build to scaffold our days do more to shape who we become than the grand gestures of once in a while ever could. Especially when we're in the middle of transformation of any kind. It's the things we do every day that build a meaningful support along the way. said, I've had to learn in tough seasons how to build my own scaffolding. And one of the ways that she does this is she reads every morning. But I just thought that was an interesting picture of what the practices can be to us at this time, because I'm really hoping that we will be transformed into the people that Jesus wants us to be, that are more like him. It's no point in doing church, is there, if we are not going to be transformed by him. There's just no, why would you do it as a nice thing to do on a Sunday morning? There are other things you could do if you don't want to be fully transformed by the work of the Holy Spirit. So I think I'm going to list them out, actually, the nine practices that we're going to consider. And these will, again, come the end of the series, where I will do another session on building a rule of life and what rule of life is, that will work for you. And again, it won't be the same for everybody. It will be very different. You know, we're all at different stages. James is about to become a parent. That's going to be very different, building spiritual practices into your world when you might not have such a commitment. Some of us are looking after elderly parents. That is no insignificant challenge. And we have to make sure that obviously we're taking our responsibilities seriously, not at the expense because we've decided we've got to do this. It can work in all seasons of life. So we're going to be looking at Sabbath. We're going to look at prayer. We're going to look at fasting, solitude, generosity, scripture, community, service, and witness. And this is a few pointers, again, from the material. It says the practices are disciplines based on the lifestyle of Jesus that will create time and space for us to access the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. And in doing so, that is where we will be transformed. They are a means to an end to transform us into people God wants us to be. The practices are not the whole of the spiritual life. They are one part of it. And we've talked about, so church is important. Obviously, don't stop coming to church. But it's just one part of the jigsaw puzzle that helps us to be transformed. They are essential. By adopting the teaching and also the practices, we open ourselves up fully to God to allow him to transform us into the people of love that he wants us to be. And again, one of the most important practices, and it's the one we'll start with next week, is Sabbath. In this age of exhaustion, it is really important. And Dave will be looking at that with us next week. That is the full day set aside to rest, delight, and worship. I'm really looking forward to hearing Dave's take on that, because it will be different to my take, and it's going to be great. So I think in conclusion, as we start on this journey, as I said already, it is not a one and done, tick the spiritual formation and practices box thing. It's a step for us as a community to go on together, to walk the journey. And I do believe as we move into 2025 and some of the things that God might be laying on our hearts, these things are going to be really important. There is no point in us not being transformed. If we want to go and transform the world, we've got to be transformed people, and they've got to see it. You know, what is it that people are seeing in you at the moment that is different from the world? I say it's not a linear journey. It kind of works in the more you're with Jesus, because he talks about being with Jesus, being like Jesus and doing the things he did. It's a kind of thing, isn't it? The more you're with him, the more you'll become like him, the more you'll then start doing the things he did. And then you might go back to the beginning again on these things. The initial call to the disciples was, come, follow me. Just come and see what I'm doing. Come and be with me. Mary sat at his feet and listened to what he had to say. They didn't start from that point about rushing around and doing a whole load of stuff. They just spent time with Jesus. And my prayer for you all is that you've already made a bit of a step on the journey. And if you haven't, I'm really hoping that this introduction will have inspired you to start. As I say, it does require a bit of commitment. It does require a bit of effort, possibly a bit of investment. But I think the end point will be just truly amazing if we all go on a journey and start to see that transformation into being more like Jesus. But John Mark Comer does encourage us. He says we need to start where we are at, not where we should be. So I don't suggest you go full John Mark Comer on this and try and do what he does. It won't work because, you know, he's been doing this forever and a day, and and that works for him. Start where you are at, not where you should be. So let's all stand, and I'm going to pray, and the band are going to come back up and lead us in our final song to end our time together. The Apostle Paul prayed in Ephesians, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope for which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance into his holy people." That is my prayer, is that our eyes of our hearts will be enlightened to become the people that Jesus wants us to be. And Lord, as we start out on this journey of practicing your way and embedding these things into our lives, may we truly learn how to abide in you, to be with you. May our imaginations be full of you and who you are. Help us to find those places where we are just so full of you, and you are the thing that springs to mind first. Lord, where we are conforming to the ways of this world that are not helpful for us, reveal them to us and help us to make the adjustments that we need to create the space for you to transform us. And Lord, we really want to see a move of your Holy Spirit to transform us. There is no point in this journey if we are not to be changed into your likeness, Lord. And I pray that by your Holy Spirit, we will see you move in ways that we've never seen before, as we are focused on being with you, becoming like you, and then doing the things that you do. In the name of Jesus, amen.